So, hello. Today in Creative Entrepreneur Success Club, we're going to be going over partnerships, part deux. And you should see that on your screen, just checking. Is that up for you, Miriam?
Yeah.
Yeah? Groovalicious. And as always, to get in the mood, we're going to do a little exercise. Let me get my timer ready. Very good. And there she is, stopwatch, I should say. So what we're going to do to get our heads around the idea of partnerships and finding partners is take a couple of minutes to identify them. So what I'd like you to do is make a list of potential partners and start generally. In other words, you don't need names, just a list of potential partnerships of any kind. All right, and then get specific, which will probably happen naturally as you start listing different organizations or areas that could be related to your profession. Get as specific as you can, but do start general, otherwise you may just be, like, sitting there, okay? Those instructions clear?
Yeah.
All righty then, so start now. Okay, got about 15 more seconds. All right, and I have a sense we could have done that longer, because I was doing it along with you and the juices were just starting to flow. But even if what you have there is somewhat general, it would be great to just go. And as a matter of fact, I think that would be a good idea. Take a minute now to look at your list, and we're going to take a couple of minutes on each of the things you wrote to break it down a little further. For instance, if you have yoga centers on your list, what specific yoga centers, right? So let's try to flesh it out a little more. And the reason I want to take the time to do this is because I know that you're not going to do it any other time. That's part of the beauty of coming to the class and listening to the recording, because we rarely carve out time for ourselves to do these sorts of brainstorming exercises. So again, dig in now to individual items on this list and see if you can flesh them out a little bit, starting now. 15 seconds. Okay, good. So hopefully we've started stirring up a few ideas there. Okay, now let me get into the content a little bit here as we look on. And I'm going to do this because when you look at a big chunk of content like this, I don't know about you, but my eyes tend to glaze over.
Yes.
And I think, therefore, even if it's reading it aloud and just riffing on a little bit, it's good to know your processing style, first of all. I'm an oral learner. I learn by listening. So hearing this will hopefully get even more of your juices going as you make the bed or whatever you do as you listen to the recording, okay? So we're going to start with actual meetings with partners. We went through this at the tail end. I know you're going to get dizzy. Before we get into meetings, the actual meetings, I'm skipping down to number 5, 15 ways to work with partners offline, because we're in brainstorming mode here, and I think it makes sense to start here. So here are 15 ways that are listed to work with a partner offline. At a workshop at their office or theater or yoga studio. A workshop that the two of you do together, and each are responsible for getting 10 people there. That's what I'm doing tomorrow night with this Creative Business Owners Unite. I'm getting together with two of my colleagues, and we've each committed to bringing a certain number of people. Because chances are, the people I bring, who may have already worked with me, may find something they do of interest, and certainly the people I'm partnering with tonight are very relevant to my niche, which are creative entrepreneurs. So get together with someone else and everybody, and you just make your own little party. 3, setting up a table at someone's organization to do free sessions, have little free consults with the clients or customers. Doing lunch and learns or seminars, either virtually or in person for a company or an organization or an event space, or it could be Brooklyn. I know that, for instance, BAX and various places sometimes offer these sorts of events. Brooklyn Arts Council is what I'm trying to say. Talk about being provincial. We're really focused in on the New York City area, but this could be anywhere. 6, an email that goes out to their clients that directs them to your free gift webinar or teleseminar, which is great. This is a way to grow your list. Once you have your newsletter, can work with someone who has similar people on their newsletter list, it would be a value add for them to be able to direct them to your free gift, and there are ways to do that in MailChimp and various newsletter servers where automatically a free gift is downloaded. 7, an event that you both sponsor together. That's getting a little redundant because essentially that's what number 2 is, an event that you both sponsor together, in my opinion. Another thing, though, is you can do sponsorships at all kinds of events that you – paid sponsorships, meaning you pay to have a table there or whatever. So that is actually rather interesting. I know there are all kinds of job fairs in every profession, and it can be expensive, but if you go in on it with someone else and share a booth or a table – that could be a cost-effective way to meet a lot of people and get a lot of sales conversations. 8, a mailing that you create and pay for together. We're talking snail mail here. an online event, like a tele-summit or giveaway that you create and pay for together. And again, that's a little vague, and it would be very particular to your profession. And if you want to ask a question about that, maybe we could brainstorm a little later on. 10, a live stream. This is fun. Now, you know, you can do that on Facebook now, Facebook live streams that you create and pay for together. But the fact is you don't have to pay in a lot of instances. You don't have to pay for a live stream on YouTube or Facebook. And it's a good idea to plan them because there's a lot of garbage. People are just streaming nonsense now. If you actually plan out your live stream so that you have something to say when you do it, it's going to be a lot more beneficial. And you could collaborate with someone on doing something like that and post and let people know when you're going to be on. Maybe you'd both be on at a regular time every day. 11, an event that you can co-plan together. It could be an event of any kind. It could be a theater festival featuring local visual artists. I don't know. Referrals, that's a referral partnership that go between you and the other person. 13, a connection between you and someone they know. In other words, referral partnerships don't have to be strictly for clients. Who do you know and who do I know in my network who might be useful to the other person, right? Oh, this is nice. I like this one. Throwing a dinner party or other party together, because that is in and of itself a networking event. Party is a wonderful networking event. And just, you know, you just don't know who you're going to, what's going to happen when people get a little booze into them. all kinds of fun things. Doing a speaking event at another organization together. You might have better luck courting an arts organization, for instance, as a team or a partnership, and creating an event that's of interest to them than possibly you would by yourself, all right? Any other creative collaboration idea you can come up with that's a good fit depending on the individual. So hopefully the wheels will start turning here. Remember, don't forget you can try things together and just see if they work. You don't have to know everything here. I like this because what I find very often is we're all so afraid of making a mistake that we try to control the how something is going to work out. And that's very paralyzing when you don't even know how it works to begin with. You got to just learn by doing. All right. Now, these are four ways to work with a partner online. And these are listed from the highest level of commitment to the least. Okay? So here's a nice little example. Jane and Mary are partners. Jane is doing a teleseminar and wants Mary's help to promote it and get more registrants. Jane also wants to build her list, so she would also like more people to opt into her free gift. So they are joint venture partners. Mary is the giver of an event. Well, this is interesting. Mary is the giver and Jane is the receiver. Okay? So Jane is the receiver of Mary's opt-in, the free gift, right?
Right.
And this is interesting. The giver always does all the work. How interesting is that?
What are partnership like?
No, you know? It doesn't. But you know, you might switch next time. Mm-hmm. You know, initially it depends on what it is. You know, you want to get. So Mary helps promote it, right? She's the giver. She's giving Jane the opportunity. So that's why she's doing all the work this time. The next time around, Jane might be the one doing the teleseminar, and Mary wants the exposure. So Jane would do all the work to help her build her list and have people opt in to Mary's list, right? So this is the understanding, I think, with joint ventures. It's a turn-taking thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're offering someone a platform, and in return, they're offering you something. It doesn't always have to be tit for tat, because maybe you don't have a great big list. So perhaps, as in any barter relationship, you might not offer her to be the guest on a teleseminar, because that wouldn't do her a lot of good if your list isn't very big, and once you've grown it, it's mostly her people anyway. But you might have something else that you could offer her, right?
Uh-huh.
And that I leave to your creativity, right?
Right.
You would bang that one around, okay? All right, next is a hosted call. So that's a lot of commitment. The giver is making a huge commitment to the receiver in this instance. B, a hosted call. Mary can host Jane to do a teleseminar to her own list. All right, so again, Mary's being the giver. This means that Jane sends Mary all the promotion email copy, and Mary usually sends 2 to 3 solo emails about it to her list. The first is to announce that the call is going to happen. The second is to give some more information about the call. The third is the day of the call as a last chance to opt in. Now, each of the emails will contain an affiliate link to Jane's opt-in page. All right. Now, Jane is going to do the work. This is a little more 50-50 because Mary isn't going to do all the writing for her. She's giving her the platform. Jane is going to provide all the writing that's needed for the call. She's going to send her questions that Mary can ask, okay? Also an introduction. And on the day of the call, Mary comes on to the call, introduces Jane to her listeners. And then she either asks Jane questions, interview style, or she just lets Jane teach her content. Now, if you're charging for this, webinar event, Mary is going to receive 20 to 40% or whatever the set amount you agree on for the program. And Jane, who's the giver, Mary is providing the platform. So Mary's going to get a commission of 20 to 40% and Jane is going to get the rest. Okay, now this is going to work best for opt-ins for like a program or purchases of a downloadable item or, something. It could be something physical because the leader of the list will be on the call and is promoting it. So there's a trust factor here, okay? So you have to believe in whatever is being sold to your list. This is why you're going to have meetings leading up to whatever you decide to do together. Right. Some JV partnerships work out. Some don't. All right. It's really getting out there. So, A2, promotion for a teleseminar webinar. So, again, Mary sends a solo email or two to her list. Mary's still the giver here. She puts Jane's link to her teleseminar webinar in the email. And Mary's people click on the link and go to Jane's opt-in page, and they then opt into her teleseminar and stay on her list. She's gotten them onto her list. All the emails contain an affiliate link to Jane's call. Mary does not have to be on the call for this. She doesn't have to play interviewer. All right? She's just sending people over there. All right, now number 3 here. I like the way this outline is done here, hosted call. Number 3 for a hosted call would be a promotion for a free gift or another type of opt-in. All right, So Mary sends that solo emailer to her list. She puts Jane's link in to her free gift. Or perhaps it's for some other type of opt-in. Maybe it's a free, maybe it's a free download it could be a tip sheet or it could be an e-course. Mary's people click on the link, go to Jane's opt-in page, and they receive a gift. And that's where they opt in. All right. So all the emails are going to contain that affiliate link. And that way also Jane knows where they're coming from. All right. Because down the line, it's good practice if Mary's people end up hiring Jane. Jane wants to send her a little, maybe a little commission, maybe a little, referral fee, right? So it's really important to know where the good stuff comes from. All right, you can't always track it, but that's really the point of affiliate links. Also, is to be clear about where things, how things are originating. Jane can then market these to these new people later and have them opt into a seminar and webinar because they've opted into a newsletter for her free gift. All right, and number four, promotion in social media or a newsletter. Now, this is getting down to less hard work, okay, less commitment. Mary sends a newsletter or a social media mention to her list, and she puts Jane's link to her free gift, teleseminar, or webinar in the newsletter or social media post. And Mary's people click on the link, go to Jane's opt-in page, and opt in for her offer and stay on her list. And that's very easy for Mary because Mary's always sending out newsletters and she's always posting on social media. And it's kind of nice because it gives her some content. All right. So any questions about any of that so far?
Well, as I'm listening, I'm thinking of in terms of the way that I think about what I offered,
yeah,
as a director to theaters, these are things that are outside of the things that I think of that mm-hmm. are useful to me or
right.
attractive to me. So I'm trying to, although I do know a theater artist who does a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not specifically theater related, and I've listened to it a few times, so that I'm trying to think of ways in which this makes.
Well, I would want to tease that out a little bit more.
Yeah,
you said what? Tell me a little more about the podcast, for instance.
I've listened to only a couple of episodes, and it's called "Songs for the Struggling Artist."
Okay,
and she picks a topic that she has something to say about, and she says something, and then she plays a song. So it's usually pretty short.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would take the pressure off her, I think, to do an interview once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And you could agree on a topic.
Right.
All right. Yeah. That's one possible collaboration right there.
Uh-huh.
All right. And she would, you would go through this, you would listen to this again and read this and see
how we would help each other.
Exactly. You could help, yes. Because in this case, she would be doing the work, I think, since you're both going to be on there. This would be
right. She's the producer of it.
Yes, right. So that's a little further up the line here, right?
Uh-huh.
That's like 6A here. So Jane wants to build her list, which is what you want to do, or you want to get exposure. Opt into the opt-in could be into that wonderful Facebook page you just created, all right? You don't even need a newsletter list yet, all right?
Right.
Okay, so Mary's the giver. This friend who does the podcast, she's the giver, and you're going to be receiving it, okay? And then you would find a way to reciprocate because you would have the benefit of her people liking your Facebook page and then you being able to keep them in the loop. So you would need to figure out then what the reciprocation would be with her. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be direct. It doesn't have to happen this second. You know, it's sort of, you know, that's how karma is. Down the line, there may be something that is a perfect fit that you could help her out with, right? So that's good. Your wheels were turning there. You know, I would think it might be interesting to look at what came to mind for you, Miriam, was theater schools and offering some sort of a value or event to their students, right? Maybe a webinar that you could give to the students about a certain element of stagecraft. I don't know. You could think of it. And that you would give your time for free, but they would be opting into your, you know, they would be registering. I think it would be a good idea for you to set up a newsletter just to start grabbing these emails.
I would like to think,
All right, so it takes a bit to stretch your brain around it because, again, these are business-based, corporate, they come out of a corporate mentality, these ideas. But I think there's a lot to be learned and applied here to, you know, to us as creative folk. And certainly what I'm starting to do. So, all right. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty of meeting with a partner. For that, I'm going to roll up here, okay? Because now you've got some partnerships going. Now you have one potential partnership going. You have someone to ask, right, who does this podcast. So what you want to do before the meeting is you want to do your research, go to their website, get on their newsletter list, check out their free gifts or whatever their offerings are. See what it is that they want, if possible and applicable. Visit them. Visit where they work. I.e., if it's a company, talk to someone else who works there. Brainstorm with yourself or with your accountability partner ahead of time some possible ways that both of you could work together if you haven't already thought of something. I mean, you can just get together with someone and say, let's have what I would call a creative coffee by phone or Skype and just brainstorm on how we can help each other's careers, right? You don't have to go in there knowing, but it can help if you brainstorm ahead of time with some ideas, all right? So I think that is important. You want to go in with some concrete ideas to start if you don't already have one that's solid. At the meeting, well, if you don't, this applies to if you don't know them, introduce themselves, what you do. Remember, I've mentioned signature stories, and basically that's how you became who you are and what your point of view is on what you're doing. So I was a theater artist who became a coach because I liked creating support systems around myself when I realized that company is stronger than will and I couldn't get anything done all alone as a playwright or an actor. And so my husband said, you're really good at this. Why don't you start charging? Then I realized coaching might be a really good day job for me. So you've got to come up with your pithy little signature story. My point of view is company's stronger than will. Nothing worth doing should be done alone in isolation, right? That's my point of view. Tell them about results you've created with people, tell them about successes, right? And then ask them what they do, listen to their stories, take notes while they're talking. Because you may get ideas as they're sharing. So I think it's valuable, really, to just listen and not get into a conversation so much at this point. Really, just listen and pick up notes on people. That's certainly when I work with people, that's what I do. I try to keep my mouth shut because otherwise I'm not grasping what can be very useful information. And then you can determine, if it's a first-time meet, whether there is a match. There may not be. They might just turn out to be a nice friend. I don't know. Okay? Maybe there's an opening down the line to work together. All right, now number three. You want to ask them more specifically what's going on. What can I support you on in terms of promotions for your business in the next few months? Again, listen, take notes. Or you could say, what initiatives are going on in your company you could use support in, or what events are coming up for you, right? Again, You want to do more listening than talking. And then offer how you could use support, if that's applicable. And I don't know why it wouldn't. It may turn out that you, by listening to them, recognize a perfect fit right there, because it, you know, their need apps actually would be a complement to yours. You can say, this is what's coming up for me, I'd like your support on, or this is my idea of how we could work together, for instance. Or, from what I can see, your clients, employees, they need this, and here's how I could provide it, all right? And once you have gotten some concrete ideas, celebrate, which by that I mean have a nice conversation. Let it, you know, just chat and have a drink, all right? Now, I think it's important before you do that to decide very specifically what you're going to create and decide the dates. Decide what the dates are. You know, it could be down the road. You may be making a date to decide the specific dates. You could say, let's do something in April, all right, and we'll nail down the dates in March. I mean, we'll nail down the dates in February, okay? But you want to have some specific thing, most important, the next time you're going to talk. All right. As many specifics as you can nail down, I think, that's really when things get done. Mailing dates, when the copy's going to go out, when the copy has to be received, when the event's going to happen. And then break down the milestones. Just like when I work with a client and you work backwards from the goal to the milestones, the little internal goals that lead up to the big vision, right? By when are the flyers going to be created? The other marketing material, all right? You want to really figure out follow-up meetings and follow-up steps, and never, never, never leave a meeting without scheduling your next one. Otherwise, it could just disappear, right? Summarize in the end what they're going to do and what you're going to do. Doesn't matter if it starts to sound like you have Asperger's. I don't care. It really, believe me, you want to be that crazy. Okay, what is it you're going to do? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. All right, and have a shared Google Doc, okay? Now, if you have ongoing partnerships that don't have any concrete steps, I think it's really good, and you already have one, Miriam. You have one with Katerina. You have an accountability partner. You want to know what the good check-in times are going to be, and make a habit of it. It's also good to get to know the person. If they are someone who, from time to time, as I think I will be with the ladies who I'm doing the event with tomorrow night, we'll probably be working from time to time. So get to know them. Right, determine their favorite gifts, activities, interests, take notes on them, because you will more readily recognize in your travels what's going to help them. And that's the nature of networking karma, givers gain. That's the slogan of BNI, actually, Business Networking International, givers gain. All right, and you use these favorites also as a way to stay in touch. Okay, if you're not, for whatever reason, regularly meeting, all right, or not meeting that often. Any questions on any of that?
I think I understand it. I think it would take, it takes a little, like, adjusting in my head to...
Yes, yes.
Apply it to myself.
And I think down the line, I have to get less lazy and just take this material and put it more into artist speak or creative speak. But it's also a lot of information. It's like, you know, wanting a drink from a water fountain and all of a sudden the fire hydrant gets opened in your face. All right, so just know that's the case for everybody.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Not to be overwhelmed. You might listen to this several times, and each time, some other little piece of information jumps out at you,
right,
and applies itself, and it's applicable all of a sudden, all right? 15 ways to work with partners offline. We did that. We're walking. All right. And I think last but not least, don't limit yourself to the small fish. This takes gumption. But organizations, theater companies, right, galleries, restaurants, it could be even stores, right, which is, I think, an interesting idea. Could be interesting referral partners. You might even think, you know, stores that supply product to performers, Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a very interesting referral partnership for you. And also, or not, if not a referral partnership so much as, I think, a joint venture partner, right? Because you do like the gushy stuff, right? So, you know, I'm thinking there are some stores that specialize in theater artists in the area, right? You might even look into that and bounce some ideas around, okay? Always a good idea to see if you know somebody who works at these places, not to go in cold,
mm-hmm.
All right? All right. I don't know what this last sentence means. I should have deleted it. Use our selling to corporate to handouts. I don't know what that means, and I apologize for that. That's just me lifting from my coach and not even being, you know, I need to get a little less lazy there. And again, for corporate partnerships, but this is good for any big entity, like if you're talking about a Labyrinth or a larger theater company, I think very much like a corporate partnership, you got to expect the wooing process to go on for about up to a year, really. It's really mm-hmm. about persistence
right.
as the ideas are being created. All right, these are long term. This is like, you know, advanced gardening.
Right? Yeah.
So that's what I got on partnerships. Is there anything else you want to ask? It could be related to this. It could be not related to this before we close out today.
I'm sure I have questions, but I don't know what they are.
Well, as always, please post them in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Is this
document going to be in the files?
This document will be in the files on the Facebook group, as will the recording. Also, a reminder, I will put the link in for the event I'm doing tomorrow night, Creative Business Owners Unite, a forum to connect and learn in the East Village. I'll put the link in there and use the discount code RAHTI, spelled lowercase, all lowercase, RAHTI. So you'll get $5 off. It's $20, $15 for you. And it should be fun. There'll be food. There'll be drink. And there'll be pool and foosball. So what could be bad? All right. And you'll get to meet some interesting people. So thanks, Miriam. Thanks for being here. I hope to speak to more of you next week. And actually, it's Q&A week next week. So start to, you know, grab those conundrums and write them down. All right,
great.
Then. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.